Ever get the feeling that your cat is staring at you, looking for the answer to some unasked question? Well, behavioural researchers in Hungary now say it may just be looking for referential clues. Cats, it appears, share an ability to follow a human's gaze, to a bowl of food in this case, and interpret it correctly, which puts them in the same hitherto rarefied group of babies and dogs.
A trip to the airport usually means waiting in long lines. The travelers could be skipping the wait at one stop if Amazon has its way. Reuters has exclusively learned that the online retailer has been courting airports, looking to expand its checkout-free shopping known as Amazon Go.
Now companies are trying to turn their self-driving technology into an actual business. Waymo is leading the way with hundreds of cars in the suburbs of Phoenix, Arizona, charging test riders for the service. The technology has come far in the last 2 years. During our 30-minute ride in a Waymo car from downtown Chandler to a coffee shop about 3 miles away and back, the man in the driver's seat didn't once touch the steering wheel. Waymo says a person will be behind the wheel for now.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's December the 10th, 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for joining us this morning again for another edition of The Opening Bell, getting up with us on another business day. And it's the start of another business week. We've got it all right here this morning, too. We've put together a really good broadcast. We'll go over some of the numbers from around the world on the markets in just a few seconds. A little bit later in the program, Tim Roach will be here from Lender. We'll talk about small business lending in the fourth quarter and look ahead to the first quarter. Some things you may not know if you're a small business owner that might be able to get you over the hump. And we'll also have a conversation this morning about the video game industry. It continues to flourish, and we'll talk with the ESA Foundation today about some of their work on this area, especially getting kids, young people, to maybe think about careers in the video game industry. And that'll be first up this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street. A little bit later on this morning, things have not are not as bad as they have been, though, with futures off about 0.25% on the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500. Heading to the opening bell a little bit later on this morning. As we switch gears and look around the globe, this morning markets are generally lower in Europe as well, with the FTSE off about 1/3. The DAX is off nearly 0.5%. Markets in France off about 0.5% as well. And in Asia, markets lower too. In Japan, the Nikkei off nearly 459 points. It's going to end the day down about 2%. The Hang Seng down 1%, nearly 300 points. And the Shanghai off almost 0.75%. Oil this morning is trading at $51.71 a barrel. Trading gets underway on Wall Street after a week of steep losses. Rumors about more tariffs between the U.S. and China sparked additional worries on Friday about the ongoing trade dispute and when it will end. The Dow Jones Industrials slipped hard on Friday, hitting the closing bell down nearly 559 points. The Dow has seen its yearly gains wiped out after that drop. The NASDAQ down nearly 219 points. The S&P lost 63 points. All three major indices down at least 4.5% for the week. And speaking of trade, if the U.S. and China don't come to an agreement, trade agreement, by March 1st, President Trump may raise tariffs. On CBS Face the Nation, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says he considers March 1st a hard deadline. He says when he last talked with the president said he wanted a deal by then. Trump agreed to put aside his trade war, or at least put it on hold, allegedly for 90 days after meeting with the president G20 summit earlier this month. Lighthizer says the president will move forward with plans, though, to raise tariffs on $250 billion in Chinese goods from 10% to 25% if a deal is not made by March 1st. So far, being able to see whether there's progress or not has been very difficult. We'll see how the markets react to Lighthizer's comments when they open up for business a little bit later on. The small business lending, as we move into the third or into the fourth quarter and look ahead to the first quarter, Tim Roach is here this morning from Lender. And we'll have a conversation with Tim about that. Tim, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Before we get into our conversation this morning, let's remind people again what you do, what Lender is all about.
Yeah, Lender is a specialty finance company that provides working capital, business financing solutions, and traditional factoring on purchase orders or staffing.
We wanted to have you in today to talk about how all of that works into the fourth quarter. Businesses, especially small businesses, making lots of decisions going into the fourth quarter and preparing for next year. What are the big decisions that they're making in terms of money?
Well, great question. I think the big thing is, one, realizing the finance needs that you have going into the last quarter and now the last month, the holiday season, ramping up, making sure you're also prepared for Q1. But a lot of time, the exercise I like to do is actually back into Q4 of 19 and work backwards, so it allows you to actually hit your budget to actual, making sure your numbers ending in Q4, going into Q1 of 2019, make sure that you're very successful in that regard, understanding where your expenses lie, understanding what you can write off, just making sure you're rolling into 2019 with the expectations, what you're trying to do, what you need in capital requirements, and making sure that you're constantly updating your budget to actual so your projections are in line with what your actuals are.
How much of that is done on from data points, and how much of it is a crystal ball?
Hopefully not a lot in the crystal ball side.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a lot of data points. Hopefully it's a lot of crunching numbers, understanding your business, whatever it may be, from an accounting firm to a farmer to a nail salon, but understanding and projecting out. There's ebbs and flows. There's seasonality to every business. But, you know, once again, we don't want to go down the road of a crystal ball. We want to have a little bit more concrete on our data, what the last 3 years, 1 year. You may be a startup, but there's other data that you can look at to help you have proper projections going forward.
I know there's a lot of different small businesses that you work with, but are there different needs for what in terms of financing at the end of the year versus the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think for a lot of companies that are affected, which we hope most of them are affected in a positive way of the holiday seasons, what that brings. So, you know, being able to understand what those needs are for you are really, really important. But once again, going into next year, understanding that you have to be able to have the financing and your ducks in a row, if you will. So you're anticipating and projecting out what you need in Q2 versus Q2 rolls around and you're like, oh, wait, yeah. We forgot about that. We just signed 3 new larger deals. We're going to have to expand through equipment, through leasing, through staffing, whatever it may be. So I think that's, you know, I reiterate going back to having those projections, budget to actual, understanding all of your numbers, looking at your data, realizing what you need, and planning for it accordingly.
When you say come to you in a good way, you touched on it there, but a good way for small business would be adding inventory because sales are good, adding people because I need more people to deal. Those are the good things that they come to you for, right?
Those are great things. Expansion are wonderful, but they also come to you. You get into a tax buying, you get into quarterly payroll, you get into liquor tax, you get into your pizza oven went out. There's several reasons why you also can come to us, which we're very happy to help. But it's also, once again, if you can come to us prior to the fire sale, if you will, the fire drill. But we're also there to help when situations go bad. We understand that there's a story behind every business owner, not just a credit score. And that's what we really pride ourselves on, is identifying that and the business owner and trying to help them accomplish what they need.
Your store Santa all of a sudden quit without notice, and you need to go out and hire another high-priced one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So you mentioned taxes there. As we move into the beginning of the year, a lot of people are now starting to think about the new tax law. There are lots of questions. Lender, you've just started adding some more interesting help into the mix of things. Tell us what you've done.
Yeah, so we're trying to create a suite of financial services for our client. We've recently partnered with an insurance company that I'll be able to offer all of our business owners different types of business insurance. We've partnered with a tax company that will actually help you if you're in an issue with the state or the federal. They work with you. We trust them. They do a great job at it. And then we've recently also partnered our own in-house CPA team, as well as we have a full service accounting firm that'll actually help you with not only the tax laws, making sure you're reconciling your GL, your general ledger, every single month correctly, and making sure you're taking the write-offs that you should be taking. So our goal is rolling this all out in Q1 of next year so we can provide our clients with a full suite of services to help them better navigate their business and the business around their industry they're in. We think it's going to be a great added value for them.
I'm not a small business owner, but if I were, the idea of one-stop shopping for that kind of stuff would be very appealing.
It really is. And you know, when I first started in business, I would have loved to have been able to go to one person that I trust, that I understand, and I can find the answers that I need in one shop is great. And if we can't solve for you, we'll find somebody that can. And that's kind of where we think that there's a real value add there for our clients.
You mentioned the CPA part of this and taxes and fees paid for financing being tax deductible. That's another issue that I'm sure CPA would deal with. Those are kind of the tax questions. What are some of the other issues that small business owners are dealing with that you can help them with in that area?
I think, you know, back to when we first talked about it, is this cash crunch that everybody has, the ability to have financing solutions that make sense for them, knowing when you actually are going to need financing, not taking money or loans or advances or working capital or business financing solutions when you don't need it, right? And that's where a lot of people will go down a little bit of a different road. And so really, really planning, forecasting, budgeting, and then when you do need it, having the ability to have a financing product that actually works with you. We offer a lot of different options for our clients from payment options. If your seasonality and you expect that you're going to spend $100 a day or $500 a day or $1,000 a week or $2,000 a month, and if you're in your slow season, we anticipate that and we project that out. So we actually will change your payment structure that is conducive to your cash flow. And it allows that business owner to grow. They grow a lot more intelligently. They don't have nearly the same stress, if you will, on their cash flow because we understand it and we actually want to work with our clients to create actual flexible payment options.
You mentioned earlier one of the scenarios of, let's say you're a pizza shop and the pizza oven, the oven goes out. You need to get that money quickly. That's one of the good selling points of Lender is that you, from start the application to the money is just a couple of days.
Yeah, we can fund somebody same day. It's not typical, but 1 to 2 days is typical. On the second day, we're usually funding our clients. If you have all of your paperwork in, like the gentleman with the pizza oven or young lady with the pizza oven goes under, they need the money immediately. And so if we get their 3 months of bank statement, a one-page application, everything else on the file is complete, we can fund same day. And so that really helps the business owner, the speed in which we can do it. And also there's no collateral. So, you know, a bank's asking for everything. We don't ask for anything from a collateral standpoint. We want to help you. It's working capital. It's creating a financial solution for that business owner is our goal.
How different is that from going to, let's say, a regular bank to try to get the money?
It's night and day.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, I've dealt with banks for the last 25 years and they always want to give you money when you don't need it, and when you need it, they're not there for you, and that's just the way, you know, the way it is right now. But I think with our speed, the ability to look at what the business owner's doing, their story, not just their credit score, it's not collateralized, and being able to create several different financial solutions for them really allows our clients to get the best thing for their business and help them grow, and that's our goal, that's our job.
How many startups do you deal with? Because it would seem like this would be a good resource for a startup company to come and get money from Lender.
We just started doing startups, actually. You had to be in business with us. The standard is 1 year in business. Now our startups can actually 6 months in business. It's a smaller loan, smaller advance, working capital size up to $20,000. But it's actually a great opportunity. Once again, we understand what that business owner is doing. A lot of startups have had a background and have been business other places. They want to now go on their own. So we actually love that. We love the entrepreneurship. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. And so we're definitely behind the startups, the entrepreneurs, and trying to back them. And once again, creating a product that works for them.
Do you also get credit challenged clients, and how do you deal with them?
We get a lot of credit challenge. The banks like to see everyone north of 750 FICO. We are not afraid of your FICO. Once again, it's your story that matters to us. Some of the 500 FICO, 600 FICO, 700 FICO, to us, it's just one data point, and it's not the most important to us. So we get a lot of people with damaged credit, credit that was, you know, through BK 10 years ago. They might have lost their first business. Several reasons why people have blemishes on their credit. We look past that. It's not an important data point or element for us. We look at everything else that's important to us. And so, yeah, credit is something we look at, but it's definitely not one. It's not even our top 10 requirements in that regard. So that's good for us and good for our clients as well.
When you come in, I always like to ask you what you're hearing because you have a unique position where you're in touch with small businesses. What are you hearing? What is it still positive? It's still an optimistic atmosphere out there?
It's very positive. The last 3 days in the stock market haven't been so positive. So, but yeah, our business owners are continuing to expand. We're seeing more and more applications, more and more clients come through our doors every day. There's just still a great buzz around it. I think a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs are continuing to go down the small business path. It's, you know, 49% of the entire employment is employed by small business. Mm-hmm. And so I'm an advocate of it. I'm a small business owner as well. And I think that it's doing well. It's thriving. You know, like I said, the market in the last 3 days doesn't make you feel real good, but that's just a blip right in the radar. But I think small business community is doing really well. From what we're seeing, it's thriving right now.
And you're optimistic for 2019 as well?
I am optimistic for 2019. I think, you know, a lot of people are calling for a slowdown at the end of 19 into 2020. I think there's going to be some shifts in certain industries. But overall, I think that we'll still see a steady climb in the small business community.
And on that point, if it is true that we're going to see that slowdown toward the end of next year, 2020, what should businesses be thinking about before then in terms of financing?
That's the number one question, financing,
right?
Working capital, how to make sure that you have your war chest, if you will, starting to do a little more saving, making sure your line of credit, your whoever you're with is prepared that if there is a slight turndown in the economy, that all of a sudden your line isn't pulled because of whatever reason. If you slow down, your business isn't altered because of the bank or another credit facility says, well, we don't want to do this anymore. So it's really important, which we also have to make sure we're covered, and it's something that we look at. We look at the rate hikes. We look at how everything's going to affect our business, as well as how we plan out, and we plan 18 months out, how we think we'll be affected by other small businesses.
I often hear the term resilience. Prepare for resilience, have resilience. Is that accurate?
You know, I think it is. I like the word resourceful.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
I think it's really important for a business owner to understand what it means to be resourceful. And once again, figuring out what works for your business. Look at what it looks like 20% down, what it looks like 30% up, what it looks like 50% down, and do some exercises. Play around with your numbers, play around with your data. Just get prepared for if something does slow down, how are you going to deal with it? When all else fails, preparation prevails.
Yeah. Tim, how can people have this conversation with you one-on-one to find more information?
They can go to lender, len.online, or they can give us a call at 312-796-7418. That's lender.online, LENDR.online.
It's good seeing you again. Happy holidays.
You too. Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Tim Take Roach, the CEO of Lender, with us again. The website, LENDR.online.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us in our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. Our focus turns now to the business of video games. Consumer spending on video games now tops nearly $36 billion and promises to grow even further in the coming year. Game development also responsible for hundreds of thousands of jobs. All of that in our focus this morning. And all of this comes after the big 2018 Game Awards last week. God of War wins for Best Game of the Year during ceremonies in Los Angeles last week. Anastasia Staten is with us this morning, Executive Director of the ESA Foundation, to talk more about the flourishing industry and how some are trying to pay it forward. Anastasia, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning.
I'm glad to have you with us this morning. Talked about some of the facts and figures there at the top, the number of dollars that are being spent on this industry. To say it's flourishing is probably an understatement, isn't it?
It is. I mean, in the last just 10 years, the industry has tripled in its size and certainly showing a strong engine for economic growth. And more Americans, let alone people worldwide, are playing games. So it's a really cool time to be a part of the industry. And part of what we love to do is welcome new talent into the industry.
And we want to talk a little bit about that. I found a pretty interesting statistic that the development of video games is happening in almost every state, or every state there's some sort of economic development involving this.
There, pretty much almost any state. And right there in Illinois alone, there are 19 college programs, either a full degree or certificate program, and over 90 companies producing some sort of video game technology or supporting components of making games and digital storytelling.
Is this a really lucrative business to get into, or are the folks that are getting these degrees making good money and a good living?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful opportunity. You think about, you know, I think there's a lot of conversation around STEM and STEAM, and it's a very in vogue term right now, but really those are a lot of the jobs of the future, particularly in the video game industry. It's a wonderful blend of the STEAM, of the arts and the sciences. And the average the average salary in the industry right now is a little over $90,000. So it's a really great opportunity for the next generation of creators to think about developing a career in the video game industry.
People don't realize how hard and difficult it is to put one of these games together from start to finish. Give us a sense of how much work goes into one of these things. I've often heard it described as even more involved than putting together a feature film.
Well, there are a lot of components that are very similar to filmmaking. There's scores, there's narrative script development, including on top of all of that, the animation, the computer learning, the coding. There's innumerable amount of little pieces and big pieces that go into it. But developing a game, I mean, it really just depends on what game it is. A kid could sit down on their computer and hop onto a coding program and build a very rudimentary puzzle game in a day or two. And then there are some of these larger, big budget ones, like some of the ones you mentioned at the Game Awards, that could take anywhere from 3 years to develop. So they're very large productions.
The ESA is the Entertainment Software Association. You're with the foundation, the ESA Foundation. Tell us what you do there and how you're trying to get more people involved in this industry.
Yeah, so for the most part, the general public would probably know ESA as the parent organization that puts on E3, the annual video game extravaganza every summer out in L.A. But we have the fortune to be associated with them, but still contributing back in a more social manner. And I really am grateful to the companies that are involved, including Nintendo and PlayStation and Xbox and Bethesda, who had the foresight nearly 20 years ago to start this foundation, and about 10 years ago start the scholarship program that actually focuses on women and minorities who want to get into video game arts and sciences, and encourage them not only through scholarship but also through mentorship to add their diverse voice and talent to the industry. And the other just really cool thing I would love to mention that we do as well is we have the opportunity to provide grants. So if you're a school or a nonprofit and you are leveraging video games or interactive digital technology to provide educational opportunities for kids, we also provide those grants, and that is a great way for us to also encourage STEM and expose kids to these really great paying jobs in the industry at a young age.
You've awarded nearly a million dollars over just the last decade alone. So as a source for scholarship money, this is a good one.
It is a good one. And, you know, the really beautiful part is that you not only get some of that financial support, but what I mentioned a second ago, that mentorship and that access to the industry. We try to create a really robust program around our scholarship recipients to bring them to industry events like E3, like the Game Developers Conference, so that they can get exposure to the industry and hopefully find the opportunities that really speak to their passions.
At least one Chicago area student's already won one of these scholarships, and the application process
she
is...
has.
Yeah. Tell us about the story and how people can apply, too.
Sure. It's a wonderful story, and she is an amazing young woman. She is a freshman at the University of Chicago, and she is a first-generation student and has an extreme passion for video games and is looking to leverage her computer science degree to hopefully apply artificial learnings to the development of video games. And she, like so many others, had no idea that this scholarship existed. And so when she went on her search, she was lucky enough to find us and apply. But if you visit www.esafoundationscholars.org, you can meet her as well as a handful of our other scholars this year and find information on the application, which will be open after the first of the year.
Yeah, there's the photographs at the bottom of the front page on your website. A lot of young, diverse faces here of all backgrounds, a very exciting group of people. And that's exactly what you're hoping for, not only to get young women and others interested in STEM, but to have this diverse picture book here of people moving forward.
Absolutely. But you know what? It's not just a picture book. I mean, more than 50 million Americans are playing video games, nearly half of them women, let alone the various cultures and backgrounds that comprise of that 150 million. And, you know, we kind of loosely talk about, you know, games should be made by people who are playing the games. So that is kind of our goal, is to represent everyone that is contributing to the extreme vibrant community that is video games.
Anastasia, we appreciate you being with us this morning. We're going to, again, link out to all of this information. Hopefully we'll get more people interested in the scholarship and the application process. And we thank you for being on with us this morning.
Steve, I'm really grateful for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Anastasia Staton is the executive director of the ESA Foundation. Again, the website is esafoundationscholars.com. The application process beginning soon for the scholarships there. You can find all of the information and application process. Also, head over to the esa.com. That's the Entertainment Software Association's main website, for more information on some of the economics and some of the other industry news surrounding video games.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to The Opening Bell. Some breaking news from the UK this morning on Brexit, where the Prime Minister, Theresa May, has reportedly called off a crucial vote in Parliament on whether to approve the Brexit deal after being warned she was on the course for a devastating defeat, this according to Bloomberg this morning. The vote in the House of Commons was to approve the term of the UK's divorce from the European Union. Again, according to Bloomberg and other agencies, news agencies, Theresa May has called off that vote because it was going to go down to defeat. A couple of things could happen here now moving forward. She could try to renegotiate a better deal that would be more palatable to Parliament. Or she could step down and somebody else could come in as prime minister and do it. There's also another development today where the EU's top court has possibly given her another out. The EU top court this morning saying that it is fine for Brexit to be cancelled by the UK, and that's something that the EU would be able to do. It's something that Britain could do according to that vote. Also, they say the EU says it will not renegotiate a Brexit deal after the collapse of all of this. So lots of things happening in the UK today. We'll be closely watching the Brexit deal. On the WGN Associated Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses a little bit later this morning. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures down about 0.25%. Now, agriculture, here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, it's always a big question on Monday, what's ahead for the markets in the week coming up. We look back to last Friday and found soybean futures firm for the fifth time in six sessions, thanks to solid weekly export sales data. Corn also moved higher and wheat climbed to a 5.5-week high. At the end of the day, the January soybeans were up 7.25 cents. March wheat at the Board of Trade was up 15.75 cents a bushel, and March corn was up 2.75 cents a bushel. And the latest story on China, well, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said Sunday he considers March 1st a hard deadline to reach a deal on the trade with China, and that new tariffs will be imposed otherwise if that doesn't happen. Coming up today, I'm in Arizona, and I'll be appearing at the annual Arizona Ag Roundtable event. Look forward to that. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Monday, December the 10th. Job openings and labor turnover reports coming for October. Analysts expect to see job openings holding steady at 7 million, down just a hair from September. The report due out at mid-morning. We'll also get a couple of auctions, the three-month bill auction, the six-month bill auction. It's going to be a busy week, two of reports. Red Book tomorrow, the NFIB Small Business Optimism Index, PPI, also coming out on Wednesday then, CPI, mortgage applications, and on Thursday, jobless claims, gas, natural gas, and oil report, retail sales report coming on Friday. Some of the things that could move the markets today and through the week from Associated Bank.